from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Shop their Memorial Day sale on pools and hot tubs through May 27th. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, let's get to our guy, Kurt Hogue, over there at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hogue, CYRTHOGG. Milwaukee Brewers beat writer for the Journal. I just got some disappointing news in the break, Kurt.
Uh-oh.
Just came across. They canceled the July 3rd fireworks for Milwaukee. That sucks. Milwaukee County Parks will not hold the annual July 3rd fireworks as the event is without a sponsor.
I was going to say money reasons, right? It's got to be money reasons.
How much do you think it costs to pay for the fireworks?
Yeah, less than David Gruber has available.
$350,000 it costs.
Okay, never mind. I'm not going to tell anyone to fork that money out of their own pocket.
$350,000.
Wow.
It goes directly towards the fireworks. Last year, the event was sponsored by American Family Insurance, J&M Displays, the Milwaukee Parks Foundation, and T&M Partners. And this year, no go. So no July 3rd fireworks. That sucks. What doesn't suck are the Brewers right now sitting there playing really well. Maybe not on this road trip. 2-4 on this road trip as they get ready to go to Fenway in Boston for 3 games and then back against the Trader and the Cubs coming up on Monday. So first thing, I guess, my question to you is, when we talk about Devin Williams coming back here, and they're saying July, end of July, somewhere in that area. And McGill pitching as well as he's pitching at this point. You know, if he comes back early, say he comes back, I don't know, middle of July, and he pitches well for a couple of weeks, considering how well Miguel is pitching, does that lead to a possibility of maybe they move him for a starting pitcher to try and help this rotation going down the stretch? Does he become expendable because of it?
I think, well, we're starting off with a bang. I love it, first off. I think if we're talking about more room to build up for Devin Williams, you know, more runway, then I think that would be very much on the table. And you know, who knows? Maybe something crazy ends up happening in that regard. Anyway, I'm just not sure the market will be where the Brewers will need it to be to move him if he's only been pitching for effectively a week or 2 weeks
right
of the season. It's a very slow buildup to get him back, you know, in games. He's been throwing for a week now, which isn't super long, but you know, when you start talking about when's he going to be back in mid to late July, that's really slow for a reliever. I mean, we saw D.L. Hall, who he granted was not shut down for as long, but he's already been ratcheting it back up and is throwing in games and could be back up here in a couple weeks. So it's a very much slower process for Devin Williams. And, you know, maybe if he was pitching in a few weeks and then the teams could see, oh, he's his normal self for a couple of months and the trade value would be there, it would not shock anyone. I mean, we've seen what the Brewers are willing to do at the deadline in a couple of years past, especially with the Hader deal. But I also do think this is a bit grander of a picture. There's a little more hesitancy to make a move like trading Devin Williams at the deadline, given sort of how the Hader trade backfired in the short term in 22.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, well, first of all, I mean, that Buster Olney piece did not make anybody look great. It just further exemplifies the point of our arbitration needs to go away, because it that's a horrible process. And as you read that Olney piece on the Hader thing, it makes it even worse. But even having said that, in that piece, it talks about how, just in general, across Major League Baseball, that closer market isn't something that is as valuable, maybe, as others think, that teams are willing to just kind of go year by year on one-year deals with different dudes in order to fill that role instead of paying a ton of money. Hader waited, what, 2.5 months before he got a serious offer? And that was because the Astros got a player hurt, and that's how that thing came together as quickly as it did. I mean, that's not good, I don't think, for those that want Devin Williams to stay in Milwaukee past next year.
It's certainly. I mean, I don't know if there was ever much of a scenario in which Devin Williams was in Milwaukee past next year. I don't know how much of a scenario there is. There's maybe some. He's on a contract. But after this year, like, we've seen that teams are still willing to give up some pieces for elite rental relievers, more so than maybe paying them, you know, big money on the free agent market. That's just the reality of the league that we're in now. I mean, look at some of the best bullpen. Look at the Brewers bullpen, for example. Like, they're pitching pretty well right now, and it's just kind of a hodgepodge of guys that have been picked up in completely unheralded moves one way or the other. Trevor McGill's closing right now, and he was traded for, I think, cash and a middling prospect arm early last season when the Twins DFA'd him. So that's sort of the prudent approach to bullpen management. But at the same time, like, if you don't have a guy at the back end like Devin Williams is, teams can get they can get a little frazzled, and they can get a little, you know, eager to make a big drastic move.
Let's talk about Garrett Mitchell, Kurt Hoge, as far as when he's expected back. I believe they had said June originally. How close really is he at this point? Because they could use his...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, Let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bat.
Certainly could use his bat, could use his defense, his base running. There's a lot of things that Garrett Mitchell could provide to them, especially as, you know, Blake Perkins got off that really hot start, but then has
fizzled.
Really come back down to earth, and they're still waiting for, you know, South Felix to really get going. The target date that's being thrown out is that Angel series, midway through next month. I think part of that is Garrett Mitchell's from South California and would love to be back playing for that Padres Angel swing. I always take a little more cautious approach to these things in terms of in my head, and when I think guys are coming back, it usually is later than initially said or let on. Sometimes guys will speed it up and beat those timelines out, but considering how he's just starting to hit off a tee now, I'm going to think they're going to want to get him probably some more at-bats under his belt.
What about Brewer Hicklin, who is doing a pretty good job of hitting the baseball with a lot of power down at Nashville at this point, has 11 home runs already on the season. He's not on the 40 man. Is he stuck there and he's just not coming up regardless of what he does at this point?
Look, I've been wondering when Brewer Hicklin's going to be here. When Joey Weimer got hurt in Wrigley a couple weeks ago, I was like, is Brewer Hicklin going to be in the clubhouse tomorrow? You said the big hurdle there is the 40-man roster. I mean, potentially he hits his way into a spot where the Brewers just say, screw it, we'll make room for you on the 40-man and make room for you in the lineup as well. Because right now they have guys that they're still committed to giving at-bats to. Like, it's difficult to carry him and Churio on the roster at the same time just because of what that means for – you know, you want to get Churio at bats, but you're not going to call Hicklin up and make the 40-man move if he's not, you know, if he's not getting somewhat of a regular playing time as well. So he's the guy that I'm interested to see if it works out. I mean, he looked pretty good this spring at the plate, and there's a spot for a right-handed power hitting outfielder for sure. There's just like we talked about, those hurdles are they're not the low hurdles; they're the 110 meter high hurdles.
Okay, let's talk about D.L. Hall, if you don't mind. He was a starter when he got hurt. Now they've pitched him multiple times in rehab in one-inning stints. And now, according to your guy, Todd Rosiak, over there at the Journal Sentinel, his cleat got caught in the mound at the end of the inning last night, and they're having his knee checked out now as an abundance of caution. Regardless of that, is his role now going to be in the pen, do you think, the rest of the year, and they're down another starter?
I don't know about rest of the year. It's really hard to prognosticate that far with this pitching staff,
right,
especially. But you look at all the signs, and, you know, there doesn't seem to be any pressing, you know, desire from the Brewers to get this guy up to pitching four or five innings at a time. There's right now the word is they're taking it game by game. But you look at the plan, and it's one inning, two innings, maybe three innings, and just, that's about it. And then at that point, he could, assuming this knee thing checks out, fine. He'd probably be ready to throw in the bullpen. And it's going to be significant innings either way, like in terms of, you know, leverage and role. Like, the starting staff doesn't go very deep into games. Some fifth, sixth inning options in there, go multiple innings. Could be realistic for him. And, like, the good news is the velo is fairly back right now. I mean, he's throwing, say, 95 right now in AAA. So we didn't see that outside of, like, the first couple of weeks of spring. So that's encouraging for sure. But, yeah, who knows what the future holds exactly. But if you're bringing a guy back and not building him up, it's tougher to go in the full build him up during the season mode. So it would just be challenging to get him back as a starter if you throw him into the bullpen to begin with.
Tom Kurt Hogue, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brewers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hogue. One last thing for you. How much have you enjoyed this Pat Murphy squad? The bunting, the stealing of bases. He's throwing Canning out there as a starter in front of Bryce Wilson tonight in Boston. I mean, there is a lot more going on here than there used to be with Council, with all due respect to Council. And he's a lot more aggressive, it feels like, than we've seen here in quite a while.
I'm enjoying the press conferences. There's
something new.
Yeah. Every single. I mean, it's definitely different in that regard. There's certainly bunting, and there's been moments where I've said, "Oh, that's a good spot for that," and then there's been some moments too where it's like, "Why are you bunting Joey Ortiz?"
Yep.
With Mitch White getting ready in the bullpen, and
Mitch White shouldn't even be on the roster to begin with. But regardless, I won't rant on that right now. Go ahead.
Like you got a bone to pick.
I can't. That was a horrible pickup to begin with. I vented on that the day it happened. But go ahead.
I love to hear that from you. I mean, whether you agree with the moves all the time or not, like, it presents interesting discussion.
Yes.
And discourse, which is what you're all about, and what this job and what this game is all about. So. It's been a different experience, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the reaction is on Monday when Council steps back into the building and the visitors' dugout. Should be a really interesting, exciting, loud atmosphere on Monday.
And I went over bat.
Certainly could use his bat. Could use his defense. His base running. There's a lot of things that Garrett Mitchell could provide to them, especially as, Blake Perkins got off that really hot start, but then has
fizzled.
Really come back down to earth, and they're still waiting for, South Felix to really get going. The target date that's being thrown out is that Angels series, midway through next month. I think part of that is Garrett Mitchell's from South California and would love to be back playing for that Padres-Angels swing. I always take a little more cautious approach to these things in terms of in my head, and when I think guys are coming back, it usually is later than initially said or let on. Sometimes guys will speed it up and beat those timelines out, but considering how he's just starting to hit off a tee now, I'm going to think they're going to want to get him probably some more at-bats under his belt.
What about Brewer Hicklin, who is doing a pretty good job of hitting the baseball with a lot of power down at Nashville at this point, has 11 home runs already on the season. He's not on the 40 man. Is he stuck there and he's just not coming up regardless of what he does at this point?
Look, I've been wondering when Brewer Hicklin's going to be here. When Joey Weimer got hurt in Wrigley a couple weeks ago, I was like, is Brewer Hicklin going to be in the clubhouse tomorrow? You said the big hurdle there is the 40 man roster. I mean, potentially he hits his way into a spot where the Brewers just say, screw it, we'll make room for you on the 40-man and make room for you in the lineup as well. Because right now they have guys that they're still committed to giving at-bats to. Like, it's difficult to carry him and Churio on the roster at the same time just because of what that means for, you want to give Churio at-bats, but you're not going to call Hicklin up and make the 40-man move if he's not, if he's not getting some what of a regular playing time as well. So he's the guy that I'm interested to see if it works out. I mean, he looked pretty good this spring at the plate. And there's a spot for a right-handed power hitting outfielder for sure. There's just like we talked about, those hurdles are they're not the low hurdles. They're the 110 meter high hurdles.
Okay. Let's talk about DL Hall, if you don't mind. He was a starter when he got hurt. Now they've pitched him multiple times in rehab in one-inning stints, and now, according to your guy, Todd Rosiak, over there at the Journal Sentinel, his cleat got caught in the mound at the end of the inning last night, and they're having his knee checked out now as an abundance of caution. Regardless of that, is his role now going to be in the pen, do you think, the rest of the year, and they're down another starter?
I don't know about rest of the year. It's really hard to prognosticate that far with this pitching staff,
right,
especially. But you look at all the signs, and, there doesn't seem to be any pressing, desire from the Brewers to get this guy up to pitching four or five innings at a time. There's right now the word is they're taking it game by game, but you look at the plan and it's one inning, two innings, maybe three innings, and just that's about it. And then at that point, he could, assuming this knee thing checks out fine, he'll probably be ready to throw in the bullpen. And it's going to be significant innings, either way, like in terms of, you know, leverage and role. Like the starting staff doesn't go very deep into games. Some fifth, sixth inning options in there, go multiple innings, could be realistic for him. And like the good news is the velo is fairly back right now. I mean, he's throwing sitting 95 right now in AAA. So we didn't see that outside like the first couple of weeks of spring. So that's encouraging for sure. But yeah, who knows what the future holds exactly. But if you're bringing a guy back and not building him up, it's tougher to go in the full build him up during the season mode. So it would just be challenging to get him back as a starter if you throw him into the bullpen to begin with.
Tom Kurt Hogue, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brewers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hogue. One last thing for you. How much have you enjoyed this Pat Murphy squad? The bunting, the stealing of bases. He's throwing Canning out there as a starter in front of Bryce Wilson tonight in Boston. I mean, there is a lot more going on here than there used to be with Council, with all due respect to Council. And he's a lot more aggressive, it feels like, than we've seen here in quite a while.
I'm enjoying the press conferences. There's something
imagine.
New.
Yeah.
Every single – I mean, it's definitely different in that regard. There's certainly bunting, and there's been moments where I've said, oh, that's a good spot for that, and then there's been some moments, too, where it's like, why are you bunting Joey Ortiz?
Yep.
With Mitch White getting ready in the bullpen. And
Mitch White shouldn't even be on the roster to begin with. But regardless, I won't rant on that right now. Go ahead.
Like you got a bone to pick.
I can't. That was a horrible pickup to begin with. I vented on that the day it happened. But go ahead.
I love to hear that from you. Whether you agree with the moves all the time or not, like it presents interesting discussion,
yes,
and discourse, which is what you're all about, and what this job and what this game is all about. So it's been a different experience, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the reaction is on Monday when Council steps back into the building and the visitors' dugout. Should be a really interesting, exciting, loud atmosphere on Monday.
And I went over yesterday for a segment, your survey results, the article that you wrote about the survey. And I, of course, was one of them. I filled out the survey myself, Kurt, I did. I was one of them that put Trader, and that's what I refer to him as on the air, Council being that way. Somebody asked me yesterday, what do you think the reaction is going to be on Monday? There's no way it's all booze. He's got too many friends, too many family, too many associates from growing up here. It's probably going to be split booze and cheers is my guess.
I think so, but I was kind of downplaying how many boos there would be in my head for a while, and then that first game at Wrigley, granted no one was really paying attention, but when he came out for the lineup exchange, there were some audible boos, and this was at Wrigley. Granted, that's not a moment where people are really cheering, so the boos stand out, but I think it's going to be loud between the two. So that, you know, it's kind of like that seventh inning stretch, Cousin Brewers fans yelling their team name.
Yep,
it's going to be kind of like that. There'll be vocal people on both sides for sure.
Really looking forward to it. Kurt Hogue, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brewers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at CYRT Hogue, HOGG. And an entertaining follow. He does a great job covering the minor leagues as well and throwing up highlight videos from the minors, too. I love it. It's a great follow. Kurt, thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Kurt Hogue, Brewers beat writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.